This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Here's one crushed out towards center. And Pete Alonso pumping his fist. He put on a display. He was just kind of on a different level than everybody else.
He's one away from tying. Did he just win it? He just won it. Pete Alonso.
I feel like I'm the best power hitter in the game, and it was on display.
Oh, the polar bear strikes again. Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, your smart speaker. Also on ESPNRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 80. A lot of different ways that you can get the show. Again, Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn on this Tuesday and the entire rest of the week. How much fun was that to watch last night? You know, the Home Run Derby at times in years past has not been great. They had to tweak it to put a clock on it to make it more exciting. I think they have struck the perfect balance, and it was so much fun to watch last night. We'll get your calls in at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Got some basketball talk coming up later, some football talk with Aaron Rodgers coming up later, but the baseball All-Star game tonight and what the Home Run Derby was last night juxtaposed against one another is where I want to start. You heard the calls of John Buchambi. Carl Ravitch had the call. Jason Benetti as well on ESPN and ESPN2 respectively last night. I flipped back and forth amongst all three. It was great. And the thing that I thought was the best about last night is in this era where you have guys opting out, you have guys taking load management, you have stars regularly sitting out of regular season games, games that matter, you have guys not playing in international competitions for whatever sport. We'll get to that in a moment. And obviously some notable guys skipping the All-Star game tonight. What I thought was best about last night was that the players that were there, and you could see it, we care. If you're watching, you care. The fans in the building, the place was sold out. Because they care, right? The sport should care. All of the extra All-Stars that were watching that have chosen to be a part of this All-Star week, they were there. They care. And you could see with Trey Mancini, with Shohei Ohtani, with Matt Olson, with Juan Soto, and with the eventual champion Pete Alonso last night, they care. They cared about the result. They cared about the competition. They were fired up. And you can feel them being fired up, and you can feel the fact that they care, and it makes you care more. I got swept up in the competition of it last night because I could tell how much the players cared about the competition. And to me, that made it so much more fun to watch. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're starting this off with a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that is in this era where you wonder sometimes, with the money having gone where it has gone to astronomical levels for players, and at times I think rightfully so, you question how much today's athlete cares. This wasn't something last night that was going to determine paychecks, determine Hall of Fame status, whether or not these guys are all-stars in the future. It's just an exhibition, just a fun competition. It's something where you could see they were having fun, but if you think Juan Soto didn't care about beating Shohei Ohtani last night, you're crazy. He was chest bumping everybody in sight after he hit those three home runs on the three swing tiebreaker and Ohtani grounded out on the first one. He knocked the Babe Ruth of current day baseball out. It was awesome. And that caring, it came leaping out of the television last night when I was watching. And I really enjoyed it. And, you know, let's hear from Pete Alonso because he joined Buster Olney last night after he won his second consecutive Home Run Derby. And, you know, he talked about what it meant to him. Here's Pete Alonso. If he's smart, there's no chance he skips this next year, and I don't see him doing that. Winning back-to-back, putting on the show that he put on last night, grooving to the music in the batter's box in between pitches. He was having so much fun last night, and it therefore, I think, made it so much fun for us to watch him last night that I got swept up in it. He is super entertaining to watch. I'm really happy that he's here in New York and plays for the team that I root for because he is such a likable guy, and I think he is a guy that is still playing with a chip on his shoulder, even in this kind of a competition. And that's something that he even addressed on this show with Chris Carlin hosting with Bart Scott last week here on Barton Hahn. Pete Alonso was a guest and I guess was asked why he's not viewed the same way as maybe other sluggers at times in Major League Baseball. Here's what he had to say. He certainly did the talking with his bat last night. And if you want to give me a call and talk about it, feel free at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That juxtaposed with the guys not showing up for the All-Star game. And I heard Hembo talking about this with Greeny during Greeny's show a few moments ago here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app as we continue with the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. The fact that all of these Astros are not playing tonight, the fact that there's two or three other notable players that probably could get out there, represent their teams, and represent the sport not playing tonight, shows you that times continually have changed. Look, it's not the same. When I was growing up, because the American League and the National League never played each other, there was still a sense of tremendous league versus league competitive pride where guys wanted to play in the All-Star game, and the All-Star game was managed and played like it really mattered. Like the outcome was something that was going to create bragging rights, one league against the other, that drove players to not just play, but, I mean, at times play all nine innings, if not into extra innings. Those days are gone. I get that those days are gone. What's not gone, though, what is not gone is the need to market this sport to every fan out there where the competition right now for eyeballs, for dollars, for attention is as great and competitive and deep as it's ever been in the world of sports. And the fact that the guys that are the hallmark guys, at least some of them, don't get that and they don't think they should be playing in this game tonight or are not obligated to show up and be a part of the festivities these couple of days, to me, is short-sighted. It's got to be disappointing to Rob Manfred. It's got to be disappointing to the whole sport. And to me, that's what made last night so refreshing. Juxtaposed against the guys not being there tonight, what makes last night so refreshing is you could tell how much it meant to the guys in the competition last night to be there doing that. And I really enjoyed it. And again, another comparison. You know, it's funny because I'm watching the Home Run Derby, and I'm not sure how many of you fell into this same thing. You knew the Team USA's basketball team, the group that's going to go to the Olympics. Now, minus a few players, right? You got Chris Middleton. You got Devin Booker. You got guys right now playing in the NBA Finals that are slated to be a part of this team in Tokyo. They're still taking care of their most important business, trying to win an NBA championship. So this team's going to get better, but it should still be good enough. I mean, they were 30-point favorites over the weekend against Nigeria, a game I didn't even know was being played. Right? In everything that's going on in sports right now, how many of you were paying attention to the exhibition games that Team USA was playing as a 30-point favorite in advance of the Olympics? I certainly wasn't. I had no idea that game was even being played over the weekend until I heard Team USA lost. Then when they lost, I went and read about it and saw some of the highlights, listened to some of the sound bites. Now my antenna was up last night, thinking, though, that they were probably going to play, you know, maybe with a little bit more of a chip on their own shoulder against Australia. And as I'm watching the Home Run Derby, I'm flipping through my phone, and I see that in, like, the middle to late third quarter, they're losing again. So now I got to go find the game. And I taped the whole fourth quarter after the Home Run Derby was over, went back and watched that, and a couple of things struck me. Number one, and I think this is something that we, unfortunately, law of unintended consequences, have Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Stockton, Malone, all the guys that were on the original Dream Team. And back in the golden age of NBA basketball, Magic and Bird through the 80s, Jordan and the Bulls through the 90s, and so on and so forth, we have those guys to thank for it. Basketball exploded globally, right? So now you watch the USA quote-unquote Dream Team against Team Australia. And not only are there four, five, six guys on Team Australia who you know their names if you're an NBA fan immediately. Like, oh, there's Joe Ingles. Oh, wait, that's Patty Mills. Hey, look at that. Matisse Thybulle's out there. So they've got NBA players. There has been this explosion globally where now you turn on a Team USA game and you just watch the game and eye test-wise, you're like, wow, we don't look any more athletic than that team. We don't look any more skilled than that team. Our guys don't look any, you know, significantly better. It was a dunk drill layup line back in the 90s, right? I mean, the original Dream Teams, they won every game by 60 or 50. And you expected that. That gap has significantly closed. And if you go back and look even at Olympic results over the past two or three Olympics, back to 2004 when we won the bronze medal. And you had the 2008 Redeem team that was going, and they obviously won the gold, and they've won the gold since. And I still think Team USA is going to be the favorite to win the gold in Tokyo. But now they've played two games and lost both of them. And how much does today's NBA player care about this compared to 10, 15, 20 some odd years ago when we started using NBA players, not only with the Jordan, Bird, Magic, Patrick Ewing, Barkley group, but on top of that, you know, you could tell watching those guys, yes, they were that much better than everybody else, but they were intensely competitive and cared. And is it fair to ask of today's, not the guys on the team, I think the guys that are on the team, the fact that they're there shows they care. But is this the best team that Team USA can put out there? I mean, right now you've got some factors working against USA basketball. There's no question. The wacky schedule that we've gone through over the past couple of years because of COVID, from the bubble to a condensed schedule this year, to all of the injuries, right? Would LeBron, would AD, would James Harden, would Kyrie Irving, would, I don't know, some of the other guys that got hurt in the postseason. You know, there's a handful of them that are top-notch players that are not on this team that probably would be if not for injury. So maybe there is kind of this perfect storm that's creating a team right now that's not the best that Team USA can put out there. But Greg Popovich last night was asked a couple of questions about, you know, what he saw last night, and even coming off of the loss over the weekend, here is Pop, first of all, talking about the fact that he says he saw improvement last night, even in a loss to Australia. Well, it's hard to hear a coach of Team USA, as dominant as the U.S. has always been in this sport on the international stage, talk about improvement and being happy with what he saw in a loss. But that is how the talent gap has shrunken from today's NBA versus international teams, you know, from 20, 25 years ago to those guys, right? Like back in the early 90s, guys were just wide-eyed. They were just amazed they were even on the same floor as the Birds, the Magics, the Jordans, you know, that group. Now, you watched Australia last night. Matthew Dellavedova's played in the NBA Finals. Patty Mills has been in the NBA forever. Matias Seibel just played for a one seed in the East. Joe Ingles played for a one seed in the West. There's nothing about playing against the American players that's remotely intimidating to those guys. They do it every single night. And you could tell watching last night, not only do they have very much a, all right, we got this. Like, we play against these guys all the time. We're not playing in some just Australian men's league, and now we're happy to be on the Australian men's team, and we're going to go out there against the 90s Dream Team and get drilled by 50 and hopefully get their autograph after the game's over or do a jersey exchange or get a picture taken with Michael Jordan. No, these guys are out there to win. They play against these guys every night. Having said that, though, there still should be a talent gap that shows up, right? Bradley Beal is better than Matthew Dellavedova, right? I mean, like, Kevin Durant's better than Joe Ingles. So there's no excuse for Team USA to not ultimately win the gold medal. If they don't win the gold medal, it means the best team didn't win. Team USA still got the deepest talent pool. Even if you have secondary players, which I think in many spots on their roster they have, they still have the deepest talent pool to draw from. But still, Greg Popovich got annoyed at a reporter last night who, I guess, asked Damian Lillard the question. I think it was Damian Lillard, if I remember watching the press conference right, who was sitting next to Greg Popovich. And the question, I think, was directed at Lillard about, you know, you kind of grew up watching, and even earlier in your international career, played in so many games where you have blown teams out. And now, not only are you not blowing teams out, you're actually losing games. Is this kind of eye-opening? And Greg Popovich jumped in to answer the question himself, and here's what he had to say. And he is right about that. That the worm has turned in terms of where the U.S. was basketball-wise 20, 25, 30 years ago when you first sent pros in the early 90s to Barcelona and you got that famous picture of Michael Jordan standing beneath like a seven-story mural of himself and they were winning every game by 60 to in the 2016 Olympics. These are some of the scores from the 2016 Olympics. Team USA, you know, against different countries. They won. They won all nine games that they played. They won the game. They won the gold medal. But they beat France by three. They beat Serbia by three. They beat Australia by 10. They beat Spain by 6. They had other games where, you know, they blew out Venezuela. They blew out China. They blew out Serbia by 30 in the second meeting between those two teams in the medal round. They won all the games. But you could see, and you have seen, even going back to 2004 when the Team USA was a bad team by NBA standards, still they ended up winning the bronze medal, that it's not even just immediate recent history. This has been a trend over the last 20 years where other countries have gotten much better. They've got NBA players, right? Like if you play Nikola Jokic or you play against, like, you know, five pros last night for Australia. Yes, like the talent pool has now expanded, and it's the first dream team that probably more so than anything is responsible for that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some calls in coming up. We're going to talk to Brian Windhorst about all of this stuff. He is out in Vegas, and he is watching Team USA in this competition, this preparatory competition, before they head over to Tokyo. So Brian Windhorst, our ESPN NBA insider, and guy in charge of the Hoop Collective podcast, is going to join us coming up a short time from now. And we are, you know, we'll get his take on what he sees, and is this something that now, you know, can't be corrected? I mean, is this the world we now live in where basketball has become such a global game? We can't expect that Team USA is just going to go out and roll over everybody anymore, because that has been at least the recent evidence? Or is this just, are we victims of circumstance this year because of COVID and all the injuries that the best players aren't there? ESPN Radio, Barton Hahn, is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So we'll come back. We'll talk to Brian Windhorst. We'll get your calls in at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear hotline, and a quick word from Home Depot. DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools. But at the Home Depot, the right tools means more than hammers and saws. It means a mobile app with built-in image search. Yep, that's a tool. Access an entire rental department with a swipe. That's another tool for any project, start to finish. Isn't just DIY. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Download our mobile app to get started. We'll come right back, talk to Brian Windhorst. And coming up at the top of the next hour as well, we're going to talk to Thunder Dan Marley, three-time All-Star with the Suns, as we get set for Game 4, a pivotal Game 4. Really the game that's probably going to tell us what kind of a series we're going to have tomorrow night in the NBA Finals. We'll get audio files in. We'll get your calls in. If you're on hold, stay right there. If not, open lines at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, your smart speaker. Always you can get Bart and Hahn. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear hotline. And as we said, ESPN Radio all day, presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your home, auto, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. We're going to head right now to the Goodyear hotline and check in with a guy that obviously is one of the best we've got covering the NBA, and that's Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider and host of the Hoop Collective podcast. But he's in Vegas, and he is watching what have been a couple of noticeable losses. I don't know how eyebrow-raising they should be, but they certainly have been for Team USA. Wendy, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I am hanging in there. How worried should a Team USA basketball fan be that what you've seen in these two games could actually create a 2004 scenario in Tokyo where they're not on the top of the medal stand?
Moderately. I do think, you know, first off, the problem is that they are being held to the standard of the teams from 92 to 2012, where, you know, there was that mystic period in Athens where they just completely were a mess. But those teams pretty much dominated everybody that played. And so as you look at Team USA and you compare them to those numbers, you're like, well, why isn't it like that? Well, back then, every team they played didn't have four or five NBA players in their starting lineup. So it's not comparable. You know, the days of the U.S. winning Olympic games by, 40, 50 points are gone. I mean, there were some teams that were really good, loaded with NBA players, that didn't even qualify for the Olympics. Just getting a berth into the Olympics now is very hard. And so I think you've got to keep that in mind. And I definitely think that Greg Popovich, he makes a point that his players are tired. And I feel that. I see it. They're running down at the end of these games because since they've finished their seasons after what they've just gone through, they've taken it easy. And they're ramping back up and they're not there. I believe those two things are fair things to point out. Having said that, they really tried to win these last two games. This wasn't like he had the third stringers in the fourth quarter. They finished these games with Lillard and Durant and Tatum out there, and they were not able to get it done. They were not able to execute, and this team has next to no chemistry right now. And there's just very – because I said, you know, because of the competitive nature of the Olympics, there's not much margin for error and there's not much time. They leave for Tokyo in less than a week. And I think that's something that's, you know, definitely concerning.
Well, I guess why would then, with so many NBA players, say, on a team like Australia, the same not be true for them? Why did they not look tired last night? Why would they not have maybe not the team chem? I mean, they were all, like Joe Ingles was playing for Utah, and Thibault was playing in Philly. They were all in the NBA playoffs. They weren't playing with each other. So I guess should not those problems translate to other teams as well?
Bob, that is an excellent point. You are absolutely correct. You would think that that would be true. What I would say is that Joe Ingles and Patty Mills and Aaron Baines and some of these other guys who, yes, just played a long season, they've been running pick and roll, together and using defensive rotations for Australia since they were like 16 years old.
Right.
And so I know that that's a tired thing to hear. And, you know, it almost can sound like an excuse. But when you go out there and watch and see, you know, how Matthew Dellavedova knows how to deliver a ball to exactly where one of their good big men, Jock Landale, wants the ball on a roll, it's just a real thing. You know, Jason Tatum was saying a couple of days ago that nobody on this roster has ever played together. That's not 100% true, because Durant and Draymond Green won championships together. But there's very little familiarity at all. And even Nigeria, who beat the U.S. the other day, they started practicing June 20th. The U.S. started practicing July 5th. Now, does that mean Nigeria should win? Not necessarily. But, you know, they had 3 weeks of practice versus the U.S. had 4 days. And I'm telling you, you take any 5 or 12 guys and give them 3 weeks versus 4 days, the team with 3 weeks is going to have more. So I'm trying to explain it. I'm not trying to pass it off. I do think there's some serious concerns here, but I do believe that some of this is going to be fixable because this team is loaded with talent.
Yeah, clearly this is your fault, Wendy. That's the point I'm trying to get to, right? I'm blaming you for this.
You know what, Bob? I covered Team USA in 2006 when they didn't win the World Cup. I covered them in 2019 when they lost in China and finished seventh, and now I'm covering them now. I've covered them 3 years, and I've seen 5 of their 6 losses that they've had in the last 15
years. You are the cooler.
Years.
You're the cooler.
I think they're going to kick me out, and I'm not kidding.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, host of the Hoop Collective podcast with us here. Bob Wischusen and for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. All right, I talked about this in the opening segment as well, that maybe we have a little bit of a perfect storm here with the wackiness of COVID, shortening the season, starting late last year. As you said, these guys not having any chemistry, and also some injuries, right? Like, I guess my question would be, from what you know of these players in the NBA, if LeBron and AD and Kyrie and James Harden, and the list can go on, guys that were hurt at the end of the NBA season, if they were healthy, how many of those guys would be on this team, or have we had an eroding over the past, whatever, 8, 10, 20 years of the top players caring as much about the Olympics as maybe their predecessors did?
Well, I do think that because of the success in winning the last three gold medals, the sense of urgency hasn't been there. And now we're 5 years removed from the last Olympic team. So you don't even have the natural progression. You know, for example, the Redeem team, which is probably the Dream team was obviously the greatest of all time. But the Redeem team was probably the most impressive feat that the Americans pulled off, considering how the world was at that time. Most of that team had lost in 2006 in the World Championships, and they came back in 2008 and said, look, we've got this black mark on our record. We're going to fix it. And they were motivated to come back. In fact, they played in another event in 2007. So by the 2008 Redeem team, the majority of that team had played together three consecutive summers. Now we're 5 years removed from the last Olympics. Durant and Draymond are the only two guys who decided to come back.
Right.
So the continuity isn't there. But your first question is, would it be different if like LeBron and Anthony Davis and stuff were here? I don't think talent level is an issue. The U.S. still owns a huge talent advantage. The starting five that they have rolled out are all guys who have been all NBA in the last 2 years. Most of this roster are current NBA All-Stars. I don't think saying that, having a couple of the higher players here would make a difference. I still think the chemistry matters. However, the guy that the U.S. misses is Anthony Davis because, you know, I know there were a lot of people who were kind of surprised that Kevin Love was selected, but I'm going to tell you, go start looking at the big men available. Go look at the big men, see how many of them are American.
Right.
We don't have an overwhelming supply of great American big men. And I want to point something out. Carl Anthony Towns has already played his life for the Dominican Republic. He is not eligible. DeAndre Ayton, who I know that Jalen recommended, he is Bahamian. He is not American. Those guys are not available. And, you know, Anthony Davis is out because he got hurt with a groin injury. That is where the U.S. is soft, is they don't have tremendous big men. Last time in 2019 when they played in China, they took true centers. They took Brook Lopez and Miles Turner. And those true centers got run around by some of the quicker players out there. So we went away from that. We just don't have a dearth of those. We have a dearth of those types of players. Having Anthony Davis would make a world of difference for this team. That's the guy who I think they're missing more than anything.
Right, and they're going to get some guys once the finals are over, right? I mean, like
Chris
Middleton and Devin Booker.
None of them are big.
Well, they might not be bigs, but I mean, obviously, like that's three really good players that they're going to add once they actually get to the Olympics.
For sure. They're definitely going to get an infusion, and the way Booker has been playing, because I'm just going to tell you, Bradley Beal, it looks sluggish. Doesn't mean he'll be sluggish in 10 days when the games come, but he looks sluggish. And, you know, if Greg Popovich had Devin Booker to go to when Bradley Beal was looking sluggish, it would potentially make a difference, especially late in these games where the U.S. has been embarrassed in execution late in these games. I can't believe I'm saying this, but here we have Damian Lillard and Kevin Durant out there, two of the best guys you'd ever want for late game scoring, and they've been a mess these first two games. I don't think that'll continue, but it has definitely been the case.
That's crazy. One last one for you. Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider and host of the Hoop Collective podcast on ESPN as well. If you had to really put an amount of money that you thought was significant on the line, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, when the Olympics are underway and these games really matter, is this team okay? You still think they're going to win the gold medal, or have you become like legitimately rattled based on these two games that you've had a chance to watch about what's going to happen in Tokyo?
I've been very aware of the lines because I'm in Vegas. You know, they were 29-point favorites against Nigeria, and they were 13.5 against Australia.
Yep.
I would advise not betting them in the short term based on the spread, because I have to tell you that the bookmakers are probably as clueless as the players are as to why this isn't working. But if the odds go up a little bit, I don't know what they are right now. I wish I could tell you. I should go downstairs and look. But if the odds go up on the U.S. to win the gold, that might be a betting opportunity, because ultimately they have the most talented team. And there's reasons why the most talented team doesn't always win in the Olympics, single elimination in the medal round, and the fact that the games are 40 minutes, not 48. That's a huge, I cannot overstate how big of a huge difference that is. It is more, it's ripe for upsets, but the U.S. still has the most talent. And most of the time, especially if you're making an important wager, betting on talent usually is going to be the way to go.
Brian, thanks a million for the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob. Have a good week.
It's Brian Windhorst out in Vegas watching Team USA lose their first two games. If you want to give us a call about that, feel free. 888-729-3776. Barton Hahn normally comes to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. Brought to you by Chase. We'll get to some telephone calls before the top of the hour. But first, a quick word from Credit Karma. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you can win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make a purchase between now and July 23rd, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and have the chance to start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant karma, sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc., member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Top of the hour, by the way, Thunder Dan Marley joins us as well. It's Bob Wischusen. And for Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Bob Wischusen in for the guys. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Also available ESPNRadio.com on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, coming up at the top of the hour, Dan Marley will join us. Three-time All-Star with the Suns. We'll talk about the finals. Also get his impression. I mean, he wasn't an Olympic player, but an NBA player, about what has happened to Team USA, why they're having such a tough time of it, and how much better internationally these teams have gotten and have closed the gap. You know, I was just running through some of the rosters that Team USA is going to face in Tokyo and that they've faced right now. I mean, right off the top for, you know, Australia, I mean, that's a lot of NBA talent on their team, right? Patty Mills, Joe Ingles, Aaron Baines, Dellavedova, Dante Exum, Josh Green, Matisse Thybulle. You know, when those guys see our guys, they see Durant, they see Damian Lillard, they see Bradley Beal, they know how good those guys are, but they play against them. I mean, their entire professional careers, they've played against those guys. You got guys on this team that have played in the NBA Finals, have played in conference finals, have been on one seeds and two seeds playoff teams in the NBA for a long time. So, yes, do they know that the talent level that the U.S. has collectively is better? Sure. But when they're out there just going head-to-head against them, this is the life they live. These are not wide-eyed teams from 30 years ago that can't believe they're even looking at Michael Jordan in the flesh. These guys play against Kevin Durant every night in the NBA. That's what they do. So to Greg Popovich's point, the evenness of the talent, how it has spread from nation to nation because of those guys back in the 90s. Those guys back in the 90s are responsible for what we're seeing right now. And I think it's good. I mean, personally, I lost interest in Team USA Olympic basketball once we all got the novelty of watching the early 90s dream teams out. We always wondered, what would it be like to see Jordan and Magic and Bird and Barkley all out there together? Once we saw that, it was only so entertaining for so long to see a team beat everybody up by 40 all the time. And to me, you know, that's, I don't know. It kind of went away, and I'm glad that there's going to be actually a competition to watch when we get to Tokyo. Coming up next, we'll talk to Thunder Dan Marley about the NBA Finals. Stick around on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.